Romans 11 begins with a question. Did God reject his people? It's a deep question about the nature of God's faithfulness and loyalty. In a world where it's hard to trust, loyalty is a precious virtue. In movies, my favorite character is almost always the true and faithful friend, the Chewbacca, the Samwise Gamgee. But what about the Lord? Is he loyal? Will he ever give up on you, even when you give up on him? Back in Romans 11, Paul opens, I ask then, did God reject his people? Paul's talking about Israel. He's been talking about them since chapter 9, and the topic was sparked when Paul proclaimed adamantly that nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But wait, what about Israel? They were God's people. In the Old Testament, they were God's people. But now, I don't know. Is the whole God chose Israel thing over? Most Christians aren't really sure. But did God just give up on the Jews, replace them with Christians? Some churches have taught that. But if God gave up on the Jews, could he give up on me? That's the real issue here, and Paul tackles it for three chapters. Chapter 9 looked to the past. God chose Israel. Before Jacob was born, God chose him. He chose one people in a plan to reach all people. Now, the Israelites themselves did not always follow God's plan, but Paul showed us that there was always a remnant, that God saved a small group from among them. Chapter 10 looked at the present. God kept his promise to Israel and fulfilled the purpose of the law. He sent Jesus. He brought the promised salvation, made it available for Jew and Gentile, a savior for the world, just as promised. And many Israelites believed and professed Jesus as Lord, the remnant saved, as promised. But many did not, and we left chapter 10 with God's own words about Israel, a disobedient and obstinate people. 9 was past, 10 present, but the question that remains is future. Is God done with the Jews? Obstinate people are hard to deal with. At some point, a man's got to give up trying. But God is not a man. And in chapter 11, Paul asks, did God reject his people? By no means. In verse 2, he says, God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. There again, Paul says, foreknew. God always knew which people were his. And Paul makes a distinction again between all of the physical descendants of Abraham and those who were called to be God's people. As he said before, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. And Paul says, God did not reject his people. Now, the term his people is more than a friendship thing. Like, those guys are my peeps. I don't know who I was trying to sound like there, but whoever they are, they have peeps. But throughout the Old Testament, God referred to Israel as his people. I will be your God, and you will be my people. It's not just a term of endearment. It's a term of covenant. And that's the heart, God's commitment, his word to Israel. God used the words, my people, when he was protecting Israel from Pharaoh in Exodus, when he was guiding them as a father in Leviticus, and especially when he was disciplining them and drawing them back. In Jeremiah, when his people had turned away, God sent them away, but he made a promise. They would not be rejected forever. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That promise for a future and a hope was not a promise given to you or me. Now God may apply it to you if he wants to, but it was given to the nation Israel at a time when they were turning from him. But this is the key. If God doesn't keep that promise to Israel, how can you trust him to keep his promise to you? But God did keep that promise, and the remnant saying in Ezra, he is good. His love to Israel endures forever. This is the story of the whole Old Testament. God is faithful to his people. Back in verse 2, Paul goes to the story of Elijah. In his time, Elijah thought he was the only true believer left on the planet. He prayed against Israel because Israel, God's people, were killing God's prophets, and they were trying to kill Elijah. But God showed Elijah there were more, 7,000 still true to God. In verse 5, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Paul explains that God has always worked this way with Israel. There was always a chosen remnant, the faithful few. So does that mean that the remnant was the good guys? Nope, they were chosen by grace. Verse 6, And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. This is hard to get into our heads, but God does not choose the good guys who do good works, because there are none. And if he did, they would be self-righteous. Then it becomes, if God is for us, then he must be against you. The only way for God to break that system is grace. So some Jews were saved, but what about the rest? And what is God's plan now? Verse 11, again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Paul explains that God used Israel's rejection to reach more Gentiles. Paul himself kept trying to reach Jews, but instead kept reaching Gentiles. But in verse 13, Paul addresses you Gentiles directly. Don't get arrogant. Do not think that you are better than the Jews, because you accepted Jesus and they didn't. And I have to say, I'm appalled when I see Christians who still do it, who put down Jews. It's a horrific mark on Christian history, and it lingers to this day in way too many parts of the Christian world. In verse 18, do not consider yourself to be superior. Then Paul compares us to branches on an olive tree. The Jews were the natural branches on the tree, but were broken off. Gentiles were the wild branches, but God grafted you in by faith. Now that you're on the tree, don't get cocky, as if you did something to get there. You're a branch, not the root. In verse 20, do not be arrogant, but tremble. In other words, Gentile Christians, if you get arrogant and think that you're all that and that the Jews missed it, you're playing the same self-righteous game that they did, and the root can cut you down just as easily as it cut them down. And any Jew that turns to believe can be grafted back in your place just as easy as you were. Easier, in fact. They were made from this tree. Christians, do not be arrogant towards Jews. The point of grace is to keep us humble. Now Paul brings it all together with God's future plan for Israel in verse 25. Israel has experienced a hardening in part. What that means is most Jews rejected Jesus. They honored God with words, but their hearts were far. So God hardened those hearts. You made your choice, you keep it. And God reached the Gentiles with salvation back in 25 until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. God still has a plan. When the age of the Gentiles is up, the end times, the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, God reaches the Jews again. Those last days are all about saving Israel. And there will again be a remnant. If you follow end times prophecy, so much of it is about Israel. God still has promises to keep to the nation Israel, and he is faithful. In verse 29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Everyone, Jew or Gentile, has had their time of disobedience, and God allows it, in verse 32, so that he may have mercy on them all. God's plan through it all is so much bigger than you or I. God is the truest of friends. His faithfulness stretches to the sky. If you are his people, you are his. Paul closes out the chapter by stepping back in pure awe. Awe of God and of his plan. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.